We're going to get right into the message tonight. Oh, it's okay. Amen. You want to preach, Miss Vivian? Revelation chapter 2, folks. Get right into the message tonight. I am so grateful for the opportunity to preach behind this pulpit. And you can remain seated, folks. I'm just going to read as we go. Be a little bit different tonight. It's all right. It's hard when you're in the front row and no one else. You can't see anybody in front of you, so you don't know what to do. Brother Bill, it's all right. Been there, done that, bought the t-shirt, brother. We're in Revelation chapter 2. We're actually going to read Revelation 2's passage later on. But I was saying, I'm so grateful for the opportunity to be able to preach in this pulpit. I don't take for granted the opportunity to preach to our teenagers downstairs, to preach to the young people in junior church sometimes. And I especially love going over to the Manor with Brother Horst and doing a Bible study with the people over there at the Manor. That's a great time. But to be able to stand behind this sacred desk that our preacher gets behind every week and preaches, it's an opportunity I don't take lightly, especially on the Lord's Day. I know this is usually a preacher's time to really share with his people what the Lord's laid on his heart. And I am so privileged to be able to be here standing in his place tonight, filling in for our preacher. And I definitely won't do him justice, but I'm grateful, preacher. Thank you so much for the opportunity. I love you, preacher, and I'm glad to be here. We're going to read in Revelation 2 in just a moment, but I'm going to read you some verses first. You don't have to turn there. I'll read them. But Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 5, and you'll understand what I'm doing in a moment. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 5 says, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might." Matthew 22:37, Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind." Mark 12:30, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment." Luke 10:27, "And he answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself." I believe if I asked a question, what's the main thought of these verses? We could probably all have different answers, but I believe the main thought of these verses are love God as much as you can. Love God as much as you can, with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Some of you even say with all your strength. Love God as much as you can. There was a time probably 6-7 months ago, I was speaking to the teens. I asked them some questions. I'm not going to ask the questions tonight because we're not going to open the floor up, but I'll talk about the questions and I'll talk about the answers that I believe would be answered. The first question I asked the teens was, I asked them, how many of you love God? And obviously, all the hands went up. And I believe if I asked that tonight, all the hands would go up. Yeah, Pastor, I love God. I asked them after that, why do you love God? The teenagers began to answer different answers, and just like we'd have tonight, people would answer, "Well, I love God because He first loved me, or because He's done so much for me, because He saved my soul." And we could go on and on with all the answers. I asked them, "How much do you love God?" And the teenagers gave different answers, just like tonight. Many of you would probably answer, "Man, I love Him as much as I can. I do my best to love Him so much." And different answers we'd have. I also asked them, "Will you ever stop loving God?" I asked our teenagers that. It was kind of a hard question for them. I said, "Will you ever stop loving God?" And many of them kind of, "Whoa, no, I would never stop loving God." And that's probably what we'd say as well. By God's grace, unless, man, I make some big mistakes, I don't plan on ever stopping loving God. I love the Lord. I also asked them, "How do we show that we love God?" And I told them what the Bible said. The Bible says in John 14:15, Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." That's a way we show we love God, by doing what He says, by obeying God's word. That's a way we can show God that we love Him. I kind of changed paces with the teenagers, and I said, teenagers, when someone decides not to love someone anymore, what do they do? And the teenagers had some different answers, but they kind of all went back to the same answer of, well, you know, if someone stops loving someone nowadays, they find someone else. And I said, "Is that okay to do if you're married?" And they said, no, they knew that. Even amidst all the divorce nowadays, they knew it's not right. If you're married, you don't stop loving someone and leave them. No. They knew that one. I asked them what that was called. So what's that called if someone does it? If someone is married, they love somebody, but they go with somebody else. And they started giving different answers. But they came back to the one word that I was looking for. And they said, "Well, people call that cheating." I said, "Yeah, And I said, is that wrong? And they said, yeah, it's wrong. Exodus 20:14, I told them, the Bible says, thou shalt not commit adultery. They answered all my questions just like I wanted, just like they probably would have got answered tonight if I asked you folks. And before I go any further, I want to show you something. You say, Pastor John, what are you doing tonight? You'll see. You'll see in just a moment. Just bear with me. We're not going to be long tonight. I brought these tonight, and I showed these to the teenagers also when I spoke with them about this. But I got some old pictures of me and my wife. Before she was my wife. Here's a picture from us at Mountain View Baptist Church. You can't see it too well, but we look the same, but it was still like 7 years ago. Isn't that amazing? Amen. At least I look the same, except I got braces in this one. Here's one that goes even farther. That preacher, you remember this, Radical Ricks. Remember Radical Ricks? Had a teen all-nighter at some place with a bunch of different churches. And this is a picture of us. This is me and my wife. We were just teenagers. And let me just say this. Preacher did not say, hey, you guys can date. He didn't. We were just dumb teenagers. So, but I liked my. I had a crush on my wife, and then we all know the story. I've told it before, but I look like an idiot in this picture. I was wearing a necklace. What was I thinking? I look back, I'm like, what a dummy I was. Yeah, I was just stupid, you know. Here's another one of us. This is the same place. We got laser tag, and I look at these pictures, and they bring so many great memories back of youth group times, and just being able to even get to know my wife now. At that time, as a teenager, I know that. I also have right here, this is a little more recent, it's a card, I won't read the inside, but it says, to my wonderful husband, Donald. Isn't that beautiful? And she's got some nice things she said about me in there, and it's nice. And I got another one right here, I love looking at these. We have so many of these. We got boxes of letters and notes, and this was one she gave me when I was class chaplain at Golden State Baptist College. And I'll read it. I just wanted to tell you how amazing you did today. From the moment you started, I could tell that God was really going to use you, like He always does. What a sweet woman. Isn't she such a sweetheart? She goes on to say she's so thankful. I'm so thankful. This is at college. I'm so thankful that I get to date the best class chaplain. Yeah. And she says some other nice things. And that was when we were dating. And we have great memories. Now, let me just, before you say, Pastor Donald, you know, man, you were wild back in the day. No. Can I tell you something about my teenagers quickly, just so that you don't get the wrong impression? Our parents allowed us to date. My parents were okay. Her parents, Pastor Robles, who you met, we had rules. We had boundaries. We didn't just go and do whatever we wanted. No. We were with chaperones, all that stuff. I want you to think me and Marissa just went off and did whatever we wanted. No. We had rules. We had guidelines. We had boundaries. And we tried to do it. We did it God's way with all the guidance from our parents and our youth pastor and our preachers. In those times, we had parental support. We stayed pure. We were dating for marriage, not just to date around. No, we were planning on getting married when we started dating. That's how we did it. And I know as time went by, we went to college and dated more, and then even after college, when I came back from college, getting ready to get married, we got engaged. I remember that day was such a special day for us, and such sweet memories. And I believe if we stopped and began to tell stories of when some of our couples were dating or engaged, man, we could go on forever about all the special memories that we have in our hearts. And again, I've only been married almost 4 years in May, so I only have 4 years worth of memories, and I feel like I couldn't keep up with all of them. So I can't even imagine those who've been married 30, 40, 50 years, the memories that you share and the love that you share. I look up to you folks, I'll tell you that much. But I never forget in that wedding day, and Pastor Rich was there. He did the opening and gave the plan of salvation before our wedding. And I remember staying up there. My dad was my best man right next to me, and I had my brother and friends and many people that you've known, that Brother Stephen Russ preached here. He was in my wedding party. I think 8 or 9 people on each side. And I stood there in Mountain View Baptist Church, and it was decorated beautifully, and I'm excited. I got my suit, my white bow tie on, and I'm excited, grinning ear to ear. And then she comes through the back doors, and I bet all you guys can remember that day when your wife came through those doors, and or wherever you got married, whether it was outside or inside, whatever. But what a special moment that is. She came up, and we did the rings, and we did the vow, and all those things. And I remember the vows, like, I promised that I'd be faithful. Promised I'd be faithful till death do us part. Made vows to my wife, like many of you have. Made vows to your wife. Promised to be faithful. I don't forget, preacher, you remember this, but what normally happens in the end of a wedding is the preacher will say, I now pronounce you man and wife. And then what does he say? You may kiss the bride. This is what my preacher did, my Pastor Korea did. He said, I now pronounce you man and wife. Let's pray. And I actually kind of had already gone into, and I thought he was kidding, but he was serious. So then I had to stop. Everybody's laughing at me, but that was a cool, that was a special memory for us. But I promised my wife on that day to be faithful. To be faithful. And I have been. I've been faithful to my wife. Just like you folks have been faithful to your spouses. And I remember telling the teens about this. And I made sure I told the teens, listen, teens, just because I'm telling you my story doesn't mean I'm for teen dating, because I'm not. For teen dating. I don't allow dating these, but I don't like you. Say, well, Pastor John, you're a hypocrite. You did. Well, I was a dummy, so that's all right. It's different. But I'm not a big fan of it. I think that teen, especially nowadays, when the relationships that teenagers can look up to, a lot of times in the world on television, they're not helping anything, if you know what I mean. And I'm not a big fan of it. So I don't encourage at all. I don't want you to think I do parents who have teenagers that I'm saying, hey, it worked for us. I know Brother Miller told me, he said, man, you're such a jerk. I said, why? What did I do? He said, you know, you and Marissa dated in youth group and had your parents' support, and then you got off and got married, and God's using you. He said, and every time I tell my teenagers that they're not allowed to date, they say, well, Donald and Marissa did, and they're doing great. So I'm like the exception to the rule, I guess. And he's mad at me for that because all his teenagers use that. But I told my teenagers in the youth group about all this, and I asked the teenagers this question. I said, teenagers, what if I started flirting around with another woman? And they got, whoa, they were all a little surprised at that. I said, and what if I fell in love with this other woman, and I left Miss Marissa and my two boys, and I left this church to start a new life with this other girl? And they got mad at me. Just like if I asked that question, I'd probably be getting beat up in the parking lot after service. But these teenagers, they were like, man, you can't do that. They're getting mad. Like, what do you do? I said, no, I'm just asking the question. I said, what would you do? I said, would that be wrong? And they said, yes. I said, what would you call what I did? And they said, they call it cheating. I said, what would I be called? They said, you'd be a cheater. And that's what I wanted them to answer. Now, I said all that to move on right with the message. Revelation chapter 2, we're there. Let me read you a few verses. Revelation chapter 2. Verse 1, he says, unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that beholdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. Here's a letter to the church at Ephesus. Verse 2, he says, I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. You know, I see that verse, and before I move on to the next verse, look at this church of Ephesus. They don't seem to be all bad. It says, I know thy works. This was a serving church. Whatever it was they were doing back then, they were a serving church. He said, hey, I know thy works. They were doing something right. They were a serving church. He said, and thy labor. They were a sacrificing church. Whatever it was in that day that they were doing, they were not only serving, but they were making sacrifices. They had some hard labor they were doing to get whatever done they were trying to get done. He says, and thy patience. They were a steadfast church. Maybe they had gone through different struggles or trials, but this church was steadfast. They had patience. They had patience. It goes on to say, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. They were a separated church. They weren't around those people that were liars and those that said they were apostles. No, they were a separated church. It goes on to say in verse 3, and hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored and hast not fainted. They were a suffering church. So they were a serving church, a sacrificing church, a steadfast church, a separated church, and a suffering church. Man, it seems like they're doing pretty good. Things are going pretty well for them. They were doing everything right, except one thing. Verse 4. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee. Even though you're doing all these great things, yeah, you serve, you sacrifice, you're patient, all those great things, but I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. They were cheating on God, if I can use that. They were cheating on God. Something had gotten more important to them than God. God was no longer number one in this church at Ephesus. Sure, they were doing all the other great things, but they had left their first love. The question tonight for God's people and for myself, are you cheating on God? Are you cheating on God? Sure, this church, yes, they showed work and labor and patience, but it wasn't because they loved God. No, no. Listen, I said it this morning, I'll say it again. What we do for Christ is important, but so is why we do it. Listen, this church at Ephesus, sure, they were doing great things. They had works and labor and patience, and they suffered for all these things. But listen, they weren't doing it for the right reasons. Sure, they were doing the thing, but why they were doing it was important too. It's great to come to church, but why do you do it? It's great to read your Bible, but why do you do it? Hey, it's great to pray, but why do you do it? It's great to wear a suit and dress modestly and dress right, but why do you do it? Hey, it's great to pass out tracts, but why do you do it? It's great to serve God in ministries here at the church, but why do you do it? The why is more important than the what. When it comes to serving God, what we do for Christ is important, but so is why we do it. So are you cheating on God tonight? Are you cheating on God? Have things got out of order a little bit in your life? For this church, it had. They needed to get back to their first love. Their first love. What is first love? First love, you know what first love is? First love is unashamed. You know what? When my wife and I were engaged and she had her ring, she was not afraid to go and show it to everybody. Say, hey, look at, I'm engaged, look at the ring. Oh, I wish it could have been bigger, but she didn't care. She was showing it off to everybody, and I'm showing, mine's kind of boring, but I don't care. I like this one. We were excited. We weren't ashamed of anything. No, we're getting married. Woo! I remember people at work would say, you're getting married? Like it was a bad thing. How sad is that? But I said, yeah, I'm getting married. It's the right thing to do. Amen. Praise the Lord. And listen, I was not ashamed. First love is unashamed. You don't care what anyone thinks. No, you love. First love is openly displayed. That's why we wear rings. Listen, it's openly displayed, that first love. Man, people know. The world can see that you're in love. I know me, my wife and I, when we first got married, we came back from our honeymoon, we're at the church service. People didn't have to question if we were married or not. No, we're sitting close in chairs, got our arm around each other, we're excited, we're happy. First love is openly displayed for the world to see. First love is personal. It's not the same love that you have for somebody else. Listen, I love you people. But I don't love you like I love my wife. No, I love my wife in a more personal way. First love is personal. It's not the same as love for everybody else. First love is excited. I mean, I don't forget, my wife and I were engaged. I just couldn't wait to see her every time. And I'd work, and then we'd try to get together after work and hang out together at her parents or at my parents. And we just so excited to see each other. So excited. If she went out of town, we're like, oh, itching for her to get back. When's she going to get back? You know. And I was excited to see my wife, my fiance at the time. I know even now when we're married just a couple years and she'll go on a ladies retreat or away and I'm just waiting for her to get back, not because the kids are going crazy, but because I want to see my wife. I'm excited. Can't wait to see her. That's what first love is. It's excited. First love is fervent, passionate, like an undying allegiance. I mean, I made vows to my wife. I'm going to keep those vows best I can. Hey, my first love makes me want to do whatever I can to provide for my wife, do whatever it takes to have an allegiance to her. I mean, that's what first love is all about. It's a kind of love between a husband and wife when they first get married. A first love. Man, it's special. Something special about it. It's a kind of love spiritually. I told the teenagers this. It's the kind of love you feel for God right after teen spec. Right after you go to camp and you're just so excited about serving God. You're so excited about what God's done in your life. That's what first love feels like. First love is that kind of love that you feel right after you get saved. Man, you're just so thankful to God for what He did in your life. You're so thankful to God for forgiving your sins. Man, that's what first love feels like. When God really speaks to your heart, man, that's what first love is all about. So are you cheating on God? Have you left your first love? Have things got a little stagnant? Have things got a little stale in your relationship with Christ? Have you left your first love? Are you cheating on God? Have things gotten more important than God? If you are, here's how you can get back to your first love. See, Pastor, I'm not. I'm doing the right thing. Well, you know what? There could come a time in your life when you do get away from your first love. And I want to show you what the Bible says, how you can get back to your first love. I love the Bible. I love how the Bible gives us the problem, but then it gives us the solution. Amen to that. It tells us how we can fix it. Verse 4 said, because thou hast left thy first love. But look at verse 5. And we're not going to be long tonight, folks. I promise. Verse 5. He gives them the answer. How do you get back to your first love? Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent and do the first works. Or else I will come unto thee quickly and remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. 3 points tonight, folks. How to get back to our first love. Number one is this. Number one, how do you get back to your first love? Remember. Remember. The verse said, remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen. Remember what you lost. Remember what you lost. That love for God that you had right after you got saved. Hey, that love for God that you had right after revival meeting or when God spoke to your heart through a message and you're ready to charge out with a squirt gun. You're excited about serving God. You're excited about what God did in your life. That's the kind of love. Listen, remember how that felt.
Remember the love you had, that desire you had to serve Him with your life, that desire to read the Bible and pray and tell other people. Remember that feeling that you had. If you're a Christian, oh man, Lord willing, there was a time in your life when you had that first love. Hopefully it's still right now. But if you don't have that same love that you once had, it's a problem. You got to remember. Remember what you lost. Remember that peace that you had when you were close to God. Remember that joy you had in the Lord. That trust you had when everything would go wrong. You had that relationship. You had that first love. And you remember that feeling. Just think back to it. He said, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen. Remember what you lost. Cultivate a desire to gain it back. Figure out whatever you got to do to get that love back. Remember it. Cultivate a desire to get it back. Listen, if you don't want to get back to that point, then you're not going to. You've got to have a desire. Man, I want to get back to my first love. I want to get closer to God. Hey, I want to be getting something from God's Word as I read it. I want God to hear my prayers. Listen, there's got to be a desire there to get back to your first love. Remember what you lost and get a desire to gain it back. In other words, when I say cultivate a desire, make it grow. Make that desire grow. Think about the tears that you shed when God was working on your heart. God gave you that peace. God gave you that answer to prayer. God spoke to you, and you know He did. Remember that feeling. Think about it. Think about the decisions that you've made, the peace that you had in Him. The Bible says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. Remember what you lost. Remember. Remember. Think back to how God worked in your life. Think back to that day when you got saved. That day when you finally realized you were a sinner on your way to hell. Think back to that time. Restore to me the joy of thy salvation. Remember. Number two, repent. The verse says, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent. Repent. Number two, repent. Change your mind. Whatever it is that is in the way of you getting close to God, get rid of it. Get rid of it or put it underneath. Change the priority of it. Listen, change your mind. That's what repent means, to go back. Change your mind. Make it right with Him. Confess it to God. Ask Him for help. The Bible says in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Repent. Realize that it's holding you back. Don't let anything hold you back from getting close to God. Hey, don't let anything hold you back from getting back to that first love. Listen, if my wife and I, if I felt like things were getting a little stale or stagnant, I'd have to look and say, what's going on? Why aren't we as close as we used to be? We need to fix this. I want to have a close relationship with my wife. Whatever it is, whether it's me hanging out with friends too much or doing this or that or the other thing, listen, I'm going to do whatever it takes to get back close to my wife. And it's the same with the Lord Jesus Christ. Whatever it is in your life holding you back, confess it. Get rid of it and repent. Get back to that first love. Get back to that first love. Number three. First was remember, then repent. Number three, repeat. Repeat. The verse says, remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works. Do the first works. Repeat. Go back and get back to doing what you're supposed to do. That's how you get back to your first love. Listen, I could delve more and more into this, and I only have a little bit left. It's just, I told it to be short tonight. But folks, if we're cheating on God, we've got to do what I said in one and two, remember and repent, but we've got to repeat, go back to the first works. What were you doing when you were close to God? Probably faithful to church, probably reading your Bible, praying with the right heart. Repeat, do the first works. Get back to doing what you're supposed to do. It's that simple. Get back to doing what you're supposed to do. Restore the broken relationship. Fix it. Like I said, if there was something between my wife and I felt like things were getting sick, I'd do whatever I could to fix it. You know what my wife and I try to do? We don't do as much as we should, but I know when we were dating and engaged, we used to write notes to each other all the time. I had these two, but I probably got several hundred back at the house from me to her, from her to me. I remember when we were engaged, we started writing a journal to each other. I'd write, you know, and then she'd write another one, then we'd switch and we'd read. It was just something sweet that we did. Listen, it made that love grow and grow as we got married. And listen, sometimes you hear so many stories about as people get older that first love begins to die off. And I know love gets strong in a marriage. I understand that. But man, sometimes I want to repeat the first works. Go back and write her a note. I just did this, and I'm not puffing myself up because I don't do it as much. I don't get her flowers as much as I should, and I'm kind of glad she didn't hear tonight because she'd probably be like, you don't get me flowers like you should. But listen, I tried something. I said, you know, I want my wife to know she's cared about. I want to know that she's loved and appreciated. And I sometimes, yeah, I can say, hey, thanks for making dinner, but I want to do something more special to make that first love remain. And I wrote a couple little notes, little tiny papers I wrote, you know, thanks for cooking, thanks for all the great meals you cook. And I hid it in one of the kitchen drawers so she'd find it. I put one in the mirror and said, you know, you look so beautiful all the time. Just something little like that. And I put one in the makeup drawer and said, you don't need this makeup. You look beautiful. Just all these nice stuff. And I wanted her to find it. You know what? I'll tell you, man, she thought that was so special. She loved it. She wouldn't say, oh, thanks a lot, darling. You know, you should do it more often. No, she was, man, that really even brought us even closer together. Listen, going back to the first works. I mean, I did it as a younger man when we first got married, when we were engaged. That doesn't mean I can't do it now. I want to make our relationship strong, and it's the same with God. Go back to the first works. Go back, repeat whatever it was that, man, that you did that kept you close to God. When you had that love, that first love, do it again. Man, get in His Word. Read it, pray. Talk to God. Call out to Him. Hey, get around the right kind of people that are encouraging you to do right. Repeat. Go, do the first works. Get back to doing what you're supposed to do. I thank God for a preacher who preaches the Word of God. You know how you can get back to doing the first works? By being faithful to church like you are tonight. Being faithful to God's house. By serving Him with the right heart. Doing the first works. Many of you have taught Sunday school classes for years. Maybe you used to and you don't have a ministry to serve in, and maybe that was something that helped you get closer to God. Well, you know, talk to a preacher, talk to myself. We want to get you in a ministry if that's what it is. Go back and do the first works. Do whatever it takes to get back that first love for the Lord. Whatever it takes to get that first love back. We all need that first love. If we have a church that as a whole has that first love, what amazing things we could do for this city, for this state, in our own personal lives and families. We've got to have that first love. First love for God. Man, it'll change your life. It'll change your family. It'll change your job situation. It'll change all that because God is first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So the question tonight was, are you cheating on God? Maybe you've heard this, you heard the points, you heard the verses, you say, you know, that first love isn't where it should be. That first love is, you know, things have gotten stale. Yeah, I'm at church, I'm faithful, I even serve in ministries, but that first love's, it's not what it was. It's not what it was when I first got saved. Hey, it's not what it was when the Lord smote my heart and revived my spirit. It's not what it was. I've kind of gotten stale. I've kind of gotten in the motions. I've kind of gotten just in the go with the flow. And you know, that first love's gone. Oh, folks, I encourage you. I beg you. Remember. Remember what God did in your heart. Remember the joy you had. Repent. Man, change it. And repeat. Go back and do the first works. Get back to doing what you're supposed to do. Don't be a cheater on God. Don't be a cheater on God. No, be faithful to Him because He is faithful to us. Our heads are bowed, eyes